Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Been a while. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Today is, what a great way to start the week off, man. This is a guy, one of the best in the game. He's been on the pod a couple times. His last appearance was the live About Last Night podcast at the Comedy Store with Adam Devine, in which he got famously shit-faced, which we talk about on this episode. He's the host of the Jim Jefferies Show every Tuesday on Comedy Central. His special, his new Netflix special that just came out, This Is Me Now, is now streaming on Netflix. He's got so many other great specials you have to go watch. Freedom, Bear, Swear to God. He's just one of the best in the game. And we did this episode from his office where he films the Jim Jefferies Show. It's the one and only Jim Jefferies coming back to the ALN podcast. We covered so much on this one. Fatherhood, how he tips, Trump. He's got an amazing Jay Leno story that he's never told before. And it was just a real chill episode. Jim's just one of those naturally funny guys that anything you chat about is going to be great. So enjoy this one. Follow Jim on Twitter and Instagram at Jim Jefferies. Of course, the Jim Jefferies Show every Tuesday on Comedy Central. This Is Me Now, streaming on Netflix. And all his tour dates at jimjefferies.com. This week, Brad and I, both in Montreal at the Comedy Festival, with a live About Last Night podcast on Thursday at noon at the Ovation Room in the Hyatt Hotel. So get your tickets, justforlaughs.com. Brad and I are doing stand-up all week as well, but that live podcast with some very special guests that we will announce this week on social media. Can't wait for that. Noon, the Ovation Room, Just for Laughs, Montreal Comedy Festival at the Hyatt Hotel, July 26th at noon. So get your tickets and come out. Next week in August 2nd through the 4th, I will be headlining Hyenas in Fort Worth, Texas. That's Dallas, Texas, August 2nd through the 4th. Get your tickets at adamraycomedy.com. And then Las Vegas. That's coming up August 27th through the 31st. The Laugh Factory in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then the Irvine Improv after that. D.C., New Jersey, Brea. Tons of tour dates and a lot more being added. All at adamraycomedy.com. Brad Williams, August 2nd. Through the 5th will be at the Funny Bone in Omaha, Nebraska. Go see Brad August 2nd through the 5th. Omaha, Funny Bone in Nebraska. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for merch, beanies, sweats, shirts. Go get them. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them, take pics. And email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with any questions for the podcast. Also, where you listen to it, how you got into it, why you love it. And of course, we like to read those from time to time and then send you guys some free merch. Like today's email comes to us from Mark Hollister. Adam and Brad, I just found your podcast on iHeartRadio, and I fucking love it. You guys make work so much more fun than work. I'm a fan for life. Keep up the great podcast. Mark Hollister, you're the man. Thanks for listening. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com, and we will send you some free merch. Speaking of merch, I'm getting some unique, specific Adam Ray merch getting made with a whole store. I'm so fucking pumped, dude. It's about time, you know? Everyone's got merch, and I got some... ones particular to my act and me. So that's going to be dropping in the next month or so. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, the Laughable app, wherever you can get it. So many great apps coming up. Eliza Schlesinger, Piotr Michaels coming back. Holy shit, who else? Sal O'Connell, Adam Devine coming back, Harlan Williams, Brent Morin for a 12th time. So make sure you're subscribed and go listen to the past episode. Sandra Bullock, of course, if you haven't listened to that one yet, get into it. All right, I think that's it. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Jim Jefferies.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's About Last Night.
Are we podcasting?
Yeah, let's go.
Right. Okay, so yeah, I don't.
Are you big into World Cup?
Try to look better.
Yeah,
that's not a good angle.
Thanks for having us.
That's
all right. It's a cool-ass office. Did you decorate it? Did you bring somebody in to put up?
Someone decorated it for me. The guy who built our set decorated the office.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this looks very advanced. It looks very Mad Mini.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I can't. I can't do anything. I don't have an eye for anything nice. I don't. I can't
walk into a room and see something and go, that would look cool in my place.
I can't see it. I can't make food look nice. I can cook well. I'm a good cook, but I can't plate.
Oh, it's sad that I know what that term is.
Yeah, I can't
plate. Yeah, I just learned that because my wife watches a lot of Food Network, and they go, yeah, the food was good, but you didn't plate it well. And I'm like, I don't care how
does
it
that
looks.
Mean just put it out?
I just found out, I've been walking around all day in an inside-out T-shirt.
When you have your own show, you can do that.
I'm a fucking wreck.
Well, but now you're a trendsetter. So people go, oh, Jim Jeffries is wearing his shirts
now I'm a
inside out.
I didn't know I was a trendsetter.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's your own weekly?
I can't quite dress myself either. I've just black T-shirts, Converse, and black jeans is all I can really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, like, I get dressed at work. Someone dresses me.
How great is that?
Yeah, I can't.
You have to think as far as underwear, pants, and T-shirt, right? You at least have to just get to the place clothed.
Yeah, I have to get the place clothed. Well, yeah, even then they give me socks and everything. And like it's like I'm doing Jimmy Kimmel tomorrow, and I just walked in. There's an outfit hanging on the rack said, your Kimmel outfit.
Oh, man.
You're living
you're a moron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're living the life of a five-year-old, Jim. Someone dresses you. Someone feeds
you. Well, it's like, if you watch my show, I think people think very little of me because all the jokes, all my writers write, all the jokes are like this. And, you know, so obviously I didn't watch that in the news because I was drunk. like every joke is like and suck, blah, 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 because I can't bathe myself.
You know what? That's a real look in the mirror is once you get people to write for you because they go, oh, this is what people assume Jim is like. This is what his world is. So it's
there's a lot of, like I've taken a bit of cocaine. Right? Like the way they describe me, like I'm fucking twitching the whole time with rocks falling out of me nose.
I want the listeners to know this, that as you're saying that, you are twitching.
I always twitch a little bit.
Well, that's from the cocaine.
The coke calms me down.
Just a bit.
I'm tweaking.
How do you guys start writing on what day?
They're upstairs writing now. Mm-hmm. They're directly above us right now, which is also weird because I got a pinball machine in my office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I like go up into the writer's room and then I'm like, hey, look, guys, look, I can't be up here for a while. I got a lot of stuff that I got to do, other things for the show. Mm-hmm. And then all they hear is ding, 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 ding. I didn't know they could hear it through the roof. Yeah. Well, I did the George Costanza. I walk around the office like, I'm busy. Like, I actually bothered the whole time. Right. So they go, oh, gee, Jim's flat out.
Okay. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, that's when you say that's your emotional support pinball machine.
Yeah, but emotional support pinball machine that I emotionally support use for like 5 hours out of my 8-hour day.
I feel like you do need things like that, though, right? To like, as a break.
Yeah, I find it very calming, people. Yeah. Yeah, I find it very calming. But
Think you'll ever be like you know the way Gabriel Iglesias has like a shit ton of VW bugs? You think you'll ever just get a ton of pinball
machines? He just has a warehouse of shit. I don't know what Gabriel gets up to.
Yeah.
Every time I see his Instagram, like, I love Gabriel, but it's like, here's just me warehouse filled with V-dubs and then just fucking stuffed plush toys of me.
Yeah, driving the V-dub bugs.
There was an episode of Tanked.
Yeah.
You know, Tanks that
Tanked. Show. Yeah, they do a celebrity.
I thought you said Taint. I thought that was a new show.
Yeah, I think I rented that.
I did.
Tanked is the celebrity aquariums.
Celebrity aquariums. Yes. So they come in, and they're these two Jersey guys that live in Vegas. I think they're Jersey, but they're East Coast guys. And they're always like, we got to get this fish tank to Fluffy right away. Now, we can't let him get down. And there's always like a problem.
Yeah.
There's always like,
but is it really a problem?
It's not going to fit in. Yeah. And it's always like this. Where was an episode like, we got to make a pinball machine into a fish tank.
Right? They hire exhibit for that episode.
And if we don't do it, Fluffy's not gonna be happy.
We gotta get this done because Fluffy, Fluffy's like the nicest guy in the world.
Sweet.
His name's Fluffy, and you're like, we better get this done. And they converted a V-dub into a fish tank, and then there was like somebody. I didn't speak to me directly, but it was either my manager or an agent or something. They said, Tank is inquired if you want a fish tank anywhere. And I started looking around going, maybe I would want a fish tank. Like, I've never had an interest in fish in my entire life.
Yeah, but now someone gives you the option.
Well, I'm looking around the office like, what? Because it has to be weird. You can't just go, I'd like a nice rectangular one.
No.
It just sits in the corner with some simple fish.
Simple goldfish. Yeah. No, you need like a barracuda.
Nemo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be a glass microphone filled with a shark. Right? Is what I, you know what I mean?
They did one of those for Tracy Morgan.
Right.
I can only imagine what was in his fish tank.
Well, this is the thing. So I call up Fluffy, right? Because he had his V-dub converted into a fish tank.
Yeah.
And I go, how was the experience? Did you like the thing? And then he goes, yeah, it was good. Yeah, no, it was brilliant fish tank. I go, well, you know, it's the upkeep, isn't it? It's hard because you have to feed him and then having a pet. And what about in the hiatus of the show? We have to bring someone in to take care of the fish and all that stuff. And I go, so how do you do it with your V-dub fish tank?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, most of the fish are dead now. he just has a V-dub filled with water.
Well, this is my very expensive fish coffin.
That's what I have. I imagine it's got a lot of algae and shit. Like, it's not good water in there anymore.
No.
People hold, like... I've seen in movies where they have, like, you know, funerals for fish and stuff, but is that insane to, like, have, like, at what, like, what, where do you draw the line for animal burials? You know what I'm saying?
if it's a pet.
I'm trying to remember, like, we had a lot of cats and dogs going up. I think my dad just buried them in the yard. I don't remember a ceremony.
Yeah.
I remember, like, in TV, they always sit around.
Yeah.
And all the
right.
My dad just, I got home from school. The cat was in the backyard.
That's your version of the cat had to go to a farm. It's like, oh, where's the cat? In the backyard.
But did he put up a
cross?
Or some sort of...
That's the most presumptuous thing, though. Like, is I've seen people put crosses down for the
like
pets.
Like it's a religious cat?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. You never know. The cat could be Buddhist.
Yeah, don't assume.
Yeah, because isn't Buddhist like you get reincarnated? Well, so you could be a human.
Jewish.
Like,
it didn't lay in catnip on Shabbat.
Unless you accept Jesus into your heart, blah, 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 you can't get into heaven. It's like, but what? We're the only animal that has to rock that out.
Yeah.
Right.
No other animals have to do it.
Yeah.
All the other animals are raping each other. They're all raping.
Oh, yeah. They're doing a lot of that, and then everyone goes like, "Oh, but there's a doggy heaven, and there's a fish heaven, and there's a hamster heaven." It's like, are they all separated?
Yeah. Why don't we get to intermingle with the different?
Yeah, I'd like to be able to see my dog again.
Is there a show you were mentioning about them asking about Tank? But is there a show like a Chopped or something like that you are eyeing, or they've asked you to do that you?
No, I can't. I don't have any other skills. You know what I mean?
Like, well, that's why you'd be great on like Chopped.
I once played. I wonder if there's any footage of this around because I haven't got it. But what happened was they had a thing in England that was Premier League teams, and it was like eight a size on these sort of like a bigger than a five a size football team, and so half the team were ex professional Premier League players.
Mm. That's soccer, Adam.
Right.
Yeah.
The English Premier League.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Right. English, I know sports.
Okay. We're English Premier League players. And the other half were fans of the team who were celebrities.
Yeah.
Now, so Manchester United and stuff like had like the good people. That was fucking James Bond. You know, he was fucking, you know.
Right.
They had big celebrities playing Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea. I support Fulham.
Okay.
Fulham were pretty hard stuck to find some celebrities that supported Fulham. And like Hugh Grant supports Fulham, but he was out of town.
Okay.
Right? Or didn't want to do it, or whatever. Right.
So it was you and like a ninth extra on the Love Boat.
It was, there was three celebrities in each team, and it was me, and this is years ago. I was a club comic. I was nobody.
So this isn't Jim Jefferies HBO special, Netflix.
I could have sold 200 tickets maybe in a small theater. Like, this is nothing, right? This is 10 years ago. And so it was me, and I wasn't at my fittest then.
Right.
I was drinking pretty heavily at that stage. And I was a bit puffy, and I thought, oh, God, I got to go play professional sport on TV. Hadn't kicked a soccer ball since I was about 10.
Uh-huh.
And they go, can you play soccer? Because I was going to be playing with professional fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
So David Seaman, the England goalkeeper for fucking a decade, was in goals against us, right? This was a big deal.
Right.
And it televised live.
Oh.
Anyway, so I got the jersey. I got the full outfit. I got the full kit. The full,
full. Got your shin guards.
The whole thing. I bought a new pair of boots. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm fucking dead.
Got your orange slices all ready to go.
Guy who came fifth on Britain's Got Talent, right? Like, or Pop Idol, or one of those type of reality shows. Like a guy, I can't remember his name. And then another guy who he wasn't famous yet, but he's very famous now. A guy called Example.
Is that a rapper?
He's a rapper. Okay. He's sort of a hip hoppy white guy.
Right. Oh, okay.
For very popular.
Oh, nice.
He, like, if you watch any of Example's songs, like half of them got like 20 million hits. But he wasn't famous then either, right?
Right.
And so this, so we rock out there. Now, we play the game, and there's things about yourself you don't realize until you watch yourself back on tape,
mm-hmm.
right? I had no idea that I have an awkward run.
Oh God! Oh, that's the worst to realize.
Yeah, because when you're running and you feel comfortable,
yeah,
it's natural to you. Natural to you.
Also, something that nobody should think about being judged on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're
just running.
You're just running. I have a horrendous. Oh, no. I have like a sort of like a skip to it.
Oh God!
I have like a dwarf.
That's how we run.
I have a definite like Quasimoto. Sort of thing going on, and I have one wrist that sort of kicks off to the side.
Oh like, no, you kind of.
I have one arm that goes forward, like that.
You have a little bit of a palsy wrist.
Another one that goes down like this.
Oh God!
As I run,
like looking for food,
like a kangaroo. Like yeah, I had no idea.
Have you always had that?
I assume
like
so.
No physical education coach.
I only found this out in my mid to late 20s when I watched this. So I go home and watch the game. I didn't do anything good. I was so bad athletically in this fucking game that every time, and these were like the Premier League commentators, these professional commentators, every time the ball came near me, they started laughing. And they were like Jeffries is chasing after the ball. Quite the run on him.
Quite the run on him. God. That's such a passive aggressive British way to insult someone.
And also, I'm super competitive, so I was like red and.
It's just making you run harder, but weirder.
Yeah, it was weird. I had these sporting dreams that maybe I'd do one good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't do any.
Do you have any athletic skill?
Have you gotten Have you gotten to throw out a first pitch yet?
Right. You've never seen my first pitch. You just.
No.
Ah, oh, fuck me. I threw out. This also before I was famous, I was doing the Chicago Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
and so for the week of the Chicago Comedy Festival, they let at the Cubs games three comedians for the three games that were on there. Three comedians got to throw pitches.
Awesome.
Louis C.K. got. They were playing. Did the day before, mm-hmm. and then I did. One day, and I can't remember who did the last one.
Bonnie Hunt.
But so they give me a Cubs jersey. This is online. You can watch this.
I can't wait.
Is bad, right? And what happens is I walk out. Now I had a really bad cold that day, but no excuses. But I'd had a cold all that week, and I did plan that I'd have a few practice goes.
Yeah, sure. You want to? Yeah.
Didn't have one.
So nerves are high.
Yeah. Also, this might sound a bit weird to you, but also. When I was walking out there, they handed me the ball. As I was walking out there, my brain went, spoke to myself in the third person, and went, Jim, you've never held a baseball before.
And you're a baseball fan.
I am now. But this is like 9 years ago. It's like I just moved. I've been in America for about a hot minute.
Oh, man.
And I was like.
And there's been like, here, what's this?
Feel? And I was like, it feels sort of the same weight as a cricket ball, I guess, mm-hmm. right? That, right? And I'd never practiced one pitch or anything. And so I thought, how hard can it be, right? And then I was up on the mound. I thought, this is a lot further than I thought that was, right? Yeah. And then I would say I got it 6 feet off to the left.
All right, mm-hmm. but you made it the whole way.
It hit the dirt. It made the distance six feet off to the left. I made the distance, but it was no good.
Yeah.
But the thing is, right, I actually, like, I like the Cubs, but I never want them to win anything.
What was right.
that? They were like the lovable losers.
I hated when they won. I loved it yeah. when because there was the mystique of the team that never won. But yeah. the real reason I don't want them to ever win is because of the video clip that's on YouTube is just of someone's phone of these two fucking Chicago cunts just fucking sitting there going, "Hey, go back to Australia, you fucking idiot."
Whoa.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They're like, they're relentless. Like, I had to go.
Jesus. Wait, so yeah, you tried commentating while taping you doing the first pitch.
I got a little boo. Yeah, they commentate. They film it. They yeah. commentate okay. it. I get a little boo as I'm walking off. I give a little wave, and then yeah. the cubs, like in every other, because it's Wrigley Field, every yeah. other stadium has boxes and shit that yeah. they take you up to for the day.
Right.
They just gave me a seat in like the fifth row, right
so,
behind.
So now you're sitting all around people.
So I walked back into the stadium as people booed me, and then people jeered me as I came to sit down.
It really makes you feel warm and welcome.
Yeah, yeah. And then like throughout the game were saying horrible things to me. Jesus. I was there for 3 hours. Oh,
God. They were just heckling you
we
the whole time.
You run in your 20s.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. And so now, I'm always like, just so those people don't have good days.
Right.
I want the Cubs to lose. Just so those people are miserable.
Man, this makes me real nervous. I just found out that I'm throwing out the first pitch at an Angels game. And I'm a fan of the Angels, so I don't want something like that to happen to me.
Oh, the Angels fans are very nice people.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
They live in Anaheim.
You won't get that. You'll get just a blonde Republican mum.
You just described my mother. Perfect. Yeah.
We're trying to decide what he should do, and
yeah.
Whether it's the worm or a cartwheel into the throw.
Yeah, because...
Have you got a good arm on you?
Yeah.
All right, so you'll be fine.
But, I mean, he's got to do something pre. He can't just throw it, right?
Yeah, because they're a comedian. You got to do something funny.
I tell you what, it's like, okay, so I don't know if they're good at sports or bad at sports or whatever, but Jock Peterson, the Dodgers player, his brother is Champ Peterson, and okay. Champ has Down syndrome.
Okay.
And he's always at the games, and they sort of let him be a bat boy or this or that, and mm-hmm. he's always sort of in the celebrations and stuff. Right. And, you know. Anyway, Champ Peterson came out and threw the first pitch.
Yeah.
Fucking bullet.
Really?
Bang! Over home plate!
Frozen rope.
Doing rope!
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you know anyone with Down syndrome who isn't freakishly strong?
Yeah.
But just accurate, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah. I when I was watching it, I went, oh, this could go horribly wrong. And then I felt like maybe I'm disablest.
Yeah.
Like, I just assume that Down syndrome people aren't good at throwing.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't they be? I don't know.
No.
Right.
The kid in my high school, Tyler.
Why chromosome wouldn't they be?
This kid, Tyler, who had Down syndrome in our school, he was like a seventh year senior, and he beat up a teacher once. He was that strong.
Oh. Right. Yeah, well, yeah. Well,
that'll be an interesting thing if there ever gets to the point where there's a Down syndrome MMA fighter.
I'll tell you what.
There should be.
I'm going to tell you something. I had a little bit of, I won't even call it white guilt. I was put in a weird situation the other day. I took my kid to Hurricane Harbor, the water
park. Yeah, water park.
One of the hot days out of Six Flags, right? And so we go out there, and there's these two black girls who are maybe 9 and 11, right? So the kids.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they're just pushing back. They walk to the front of the slide. And they go, we're going on next. Right?
What do you do in that situation?
Just walk past them. Right.
Yeah, because there's basically. So many viral videos of people being racist and stuff like that. Also, have my own TV show. I'm just in me swimsuit. Right? Right? How bad would the footage of me yelling at a 9 and an 11-year-old black girl going, get fuck off.
Back of the line.
Get fucking back of the line.
Yeah, that
I can't do that. And so I just sort of looked at another white dad like, what do we do here? What's our play? They weren't they were going on each slide like that because everyone just goes like
this. Wow.
And then I like, there was like a Mexican guy with his kid and I look at him and then I went, can you do it? And he goes, no, I can't do it either. I go, oh, all right. I needed like a black dad to be there.
Yeah, you needed something.
I needed
just to buffer it out.
I need one of me black mates to be there. Just to go fuck off.
Yeah, it's so even at the water park amongst all the chaos, there is an etiquette like between.
Between
races.
That's just a situation where if they start, like if you don't see the lead up, if you just see
I thought like is like, I, maybe I should say something because that's the right thing to do, and it, and it's not about race, it's just about them, it's being dicks.
Teachable moment.
As long as like, hey, these girls cut the line and not like, hey, these little black girls, you know, whose parents are not even here. Like,
well, I did do a little bit of a, hey, no, so you shouldn't cut the thing. And the, I did get a bit of a, what are you going to do about it? And I was like,
nothing.
And so my son, his brain couldn't compute why they, and he was like, Dad, we were before them. And I was like, oh, don't let them go. It's not a... Don't worry about that.
this is something you got to learn about. You
know, those are one of those teachable moments.
Time,
right?
Like, time and a place. Time and a place.
Do you break something like that down to them afterwards? Like, when do you see a moment to where you go, all right, there might be some sort of, like, you know, parent lesson here to.
I
only
would,
if you ask about it. Yeah.
I've yelled at a couple, told a couple of young teenagers off in me day. That's when you know you're old.
Yeah,
and you go, what are you doing?
Get off my lawn,
you idiot!
Yeah,
in London, in the top of the buses when they're playing their music through their phone, like that. Yeah. Turn your music off, you fucking idiot! I've done a bit of that.
Yeah, sure, but and I think, like you said, especially now, just probably not a good idea. It's weird that.
Well, I just think as a person who has a, I won't say as a famous person, but a person who has a TV show.
Can you help me this a little bit more?
As a person who has a TV show, I think that I'm not allowed to tell people to fuck off in public anymore.
Yeah, you sort of lost that, right?
I've lost me. Fuck you.
Yeah, you can't just throw in a strong random fuck you every now and then.
Yeah, I can't just be in like a store and go, you're a dickhead to the fucking.
Yeah, now you can save people. Now, like, you're almost like, you can get more press for that, and you're almost like, you can help someone out.
Yeah.
Then you'll get more credit than you should.
Yes.
But then you can't tell someone to fuck off.
Although, look, I don't do it for the glory. But sometimes when I've had a few bevvies, I will be known to do an outrageously big tip.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that. When I say outrageous, I'll do the $10 meal, $1,000 tip.
Oh, jeez.
And I do that about 4 or 5 times a year. It makes you... And you know who I do it to?
Who's that?
Do it to the uglies. You know, now, if you ever get a $1,000 tip from me, you know... Because I did it once to a good-looking person, and they just sort of went, well, that's how life works.
Oh, they don't appreciate it.
Yeah, the uglies give you a hug and start crying.
Is an ugly hug better than a good-looking hug?
No, but it's because you know that no one...
Yeah, it's genuine.
They literally say this. No one has ever done anything like this for me in my entire life. You don't know this has just helped me out. I get that one.
Whereas if you do it to a hot person, it's just like... They're like, I don't even work here. This is part of my community service.
Yeah. No,
like,
but you're hot people are like, I got people paying for shit already. You know what I mean?
They're used to it.
Yeah, hot people get privileges all the time. So I did it to a hottie, and the hottie was like, oh, thanks. That was the level of thanks. I was like, where's the crying?
I paid for this moment.
Yeah, let me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
And I'll even tell you a bit more. I normally do it when I'm on a date. Like, this is... I'm not a fundamentally good person.
No, there's a lot motivation.
There's a lot of different layers going on why I'm doing it. I'm trying to make an ugly happy when the when the ugly cries. Then event. Now this is what I don't like. I've done it a lot. Amy Schumer tips someone like $700 and makes the news.
Right.
Where's my news story? It's never once been on a TMZ or anything like that. I've never had the big fucking thing. It's not like you want to give the tip and then afterwards go, hey.
Can you tweet about this?
If you want to tell your friends.
What a great guy Jim is.
Can you at Harvey Levin with this? Can you let him know what's up?
I have a cookie once a week. I got to have this.
Oh, nice.
What a mouthful of it.
Now, is that one of the perks of being you is you get...
People send you stuff, huh?
Free cookies?
I get a box of cookies every Tuesday.
From where?
It's like good.
Give them a plug.
Deliciousness. No, we pay for them.
Oh, okay. Okay, so this is...
We used to get these cookies on a...
Regular transaction.
Oh, no. At midnight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do we feel about Chris Hardwick and what happened there?
Okay.
I don't feel like I know... I know secondhand facts about... I haven't done my own research. I know that she cheated on him. He went out of his way to make calls to people to say don't work with her.
Mm. Well, I don't know if you did that bit, but
yeah, mm-hmm.
that's all. Cheated on him.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, I don't know enough.
I know these text messages are where she tried to get him back.
I just know that there are some of my ex-girlfriends where if they wrote an expose about me, it wouldn't be favorable.
Yeah, this is what I don't get. That's why you broke up. It seems like you didn't get along.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also a thing nowadays that I'm kind of curious about where certain people, like if you get busted for something, even if you do time or maybe you get fired from one job, like there are some people that just think, oh, you should be just banned from show business for life. Like you can't work anymore because you were an asshole to somebody.
And why is our business the one that we get fired from?
Yeah.
It's not like someone goes, oh, there's this guy and his fucking ex-girlfriend says he's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
No more plumbing for him.
Yeah, that guy's plumbing forever.
Yeah, you'd kind of expect that. You kind of expect the plumber to have an ex somewhere that's like kind of mad at him.
Yeah. We did that.
Yeah, it is sort of an interesting thing where we're the industry.
Matt Lauer was able to do what he was doing for quite some time until that.
This is my defense on the Matt Lauer.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I'm not going to defend. Oh, just one thing I'm going to defend.
They were expensive dildos.
this is just one thing I'm going to defend on Matt Lauer.
Okay.
The lock under the desk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wish I had one.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard it, I'm like, that is a good... It's not to lock women in.
Right.
No. It's like... So you sit.
Well, his was.
No, that's just speculation, right? He used it for other things, right? Mm-hmm. So I have my desk there, my door's there.
Yeah.
I like to lock myself in so that no one comes or anything.
Yeah.
And so someone knocks on the door, I have to get up and fucking do it. If I have my little lock thing and go, come in. And then when they leave, I have to walk over and lock it again.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
It's fucking. I want a lock thing under my desk.
Can you?
It's not for rape.
Yeah. Can you order it with a specific sign that says "lock under desk"?
Not for
parentheses. Not for raping.
not for raping.
I think if you're making any sort of illicit.
All right, which brings us to the next thing.
Yeah. Okay.
We believe this office you are sitting in right now.
All right.
Was Bill Cosby's office during the Cosby Show.
Shut
really?
Up.
This very office.
This very room.
Is that why I'm getting sleepy?
Have you found any Quaaludes hidden in the
Cosby
office?
Show was filmed in that studio that we film in.
Holy shit.
This was the building. This is obviously the room that you would always give to the head person of the show. So it might have been the head writer's office or something, but our belief is that this was Cosby's office.
Was there a couch in the room?
No.
Okay,
no.
That's good.
Now, how much can you separate?
Before that, it was Nikki Glaser's office, and there was a couch in the room. I don't want to say anything about Nikki Glaser, but we know she's got many similarities to Cosby.
Was there even
both comedians? That's what he's talking about. Both comedians.
Both comedians.
Does that
she doesn't mean Fat Albert.
Is that cool when you hear that, or is it like tainted now? Like when you first started?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it's a quirky, fun story.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of these things that...
Lucy was filmed on this lot too, right?
Yeah. Lucy was over in the at Midnight's studio.
Yeah.
Over there. We had... Our one was Cosby Show and the Fresh Prince.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, Fresh Prince was in there.
It's nice to know that you're in that thread.
I did one season of Mad TV here.
Yeah.
Now,
Mad TV is filmed there.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cushy old lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of history.
For a while there, like RuPaul's Drag Race was being filmed here, which is my favorite TV show.
You are maybe the third comedian I've talked to in the last 2 weeks that swears by that show.
I love it.
Can you enlighten us?
Maybe enlighten you because I have a wife, so I know a lot about RuPaul.
Yeah, I had.
I feel like you would watch it without
my ex was a very very girly girl, right? Mm-hmm. Very effeminate girl, and she just loved RuPaul's Drag Race, right? So she had a lot of gay friends, and she liked drag queens before that, and so she watched it. And then it's the only thing, and I used to be like, oh, God, I got to watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
But then I found after we separated, there was the thing I didn't take off the DVR.
And you go, oh, maybe I do like this thing.
Then I closetedly they just sort of sit there watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Like,
have you got yourself a drag name?
Oh, my own drag name?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think there's already enough wrong with me. I don't
know. No, everyone's got to have like this, they've got to have like a drag name. They're
always pick
a combination
one
thing, like, you know.
No, it's not like a gaming, but you just give yourself something that you think a drag queen.
So there's no like stripper thing like your street plus
your they sometimes can be a little punny, like there was one called Penetration. You know what I mean? Sharon Needles. Sharon Needles was one of them.
I remember there was a guy named Ben, but he always would play Beyonce, so he was Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little. That's. I said that matter of fact, didn't I?
I love that. Yeah, you did.
There was a guy named Beyonce.
Well, my one is, you know, like Estee Lauder. Estee
okay.
Lauder.
Yeah.
My one is STD.
Well, they always say name yourself after something you're into.
STD. So that makes sense. E-E-D-E-E. STD.
I would probably. I mean, I'm trying to think of a stupid dwarf pun like short D, like D-E-E, like shorty. But I don't think that's flamboyant.
Maybe mine
enough
would be because I was a fat kid, and I always made jokes about having boobs as a fat kid. So maybe mine could be Kid Titty.
Kid Titty. Bless you.
Are you allergic to great drag names?
Kid Titty.
I like Kid Titty.
Yeah.
Do you know, I don't know how much I can say about this, but I am connected to a project on TV as a producer. I'm connected in a way. It's not
the
flu.
Kid Titty story?
No. I'm loosely connected at the moment and to a show that's being pitched with a entire dwarf cast.
Well, why am I just hearing about this now? What the fuck? Is there...
I'll tell you after the show. Okay. I think you're too famous for this dwarf show.
Oh, well now, is this like... Because I did I was asked to do a show one time that was going to be a Bachelor knockoff.
And
it was called... It aired. It's called The Littlest Groom. And it was a dwarf...
Look at his eyes!
It was called The Littlest Groom, and there was a dwarf guy who was going out with a bunch of dwarf chicks, bachelor style, and then the twist was, Jim, is that halfway through the show, they brought in tall women. So now the dwarf guy was like, "Ah, you dwarf girls are good, but I like these tall women over here."
There's a new show called The Proposal where they just meet each other for an hour and propose.
Sounds like Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's a story of Ariana Grande.
I thought this is a stupid show, but then I watched an episode. The women were smoking.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'll give it a go for a year. You get a prenup or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll try it out. Yeah, why not?
Smoking hot women on the show.
Have you been asked to do like Dancing with the Stars?
No, I got once asked to do one in Britain right before I moved here, which was Celebrity Boot Camp.
Is that to lose weight?
No, it was like camp, literally go to boot camp where it's going to be a general, like in the army.
Oh, okay.
Where there was going to be a general. It was going to be like me and like ex-boy band members in Britain and some fucking...
Noel Gallagher.
Sounds awful. No, Noel Gallagher's too famous for that. It's going to be just like a whole lot of reality TV losers. Yeah. And it was like, I had nothing going on, so I signed on to it. And then like someone went, hey, do you want to come to an HBO special in America? And I went, fuck you, boot camp.
Thank you.
Because I was like, and I was doing that, I'll probably lose a bit of weight. But it's literally like I was going to have someone just calling me, you maggot, get down and give me 20. I was going to have that shit all day.
While Susan Boyle and then, runs like, past you.
Yeah, then running through swamps with a log over me head and all that type of
that
bullshit.
That doesn't sound fun.
And I was like, God.
Comedy specials were a little better than that.
Yeah, so I was going to do that one. I believe there's been inquiries for me to do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in some of the other countries.
Okay.
Which I don't want to do that either. It's you gotta eat fucking bugs and shit and eyeballs and cow penises and shit. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Now you did mention special, so I want to make sure we plug your special.
New special. Friday 13th coming out.
Called This Is Me Now, and it's going to be on Netflix.
Or
now.
Is it This Is Me Now?
Which it's actually this is me now is the punchline to a big story that's in the routine. It's not like, and so people are already getting into me like, oh, I liked it before he was a libertard cuck fuck. I like it back when it's just all hookers and drugs.
Yeah,
and this special only has like I'm gonna say 4 minutes on Trump. In the whole hour, there's four minutes.
Cool.
And that's it.
Was that on purpose?
Yeah, I you know.
Your last, last special, Free Dumb, that was sort of like.
I only had 5 minutes on Trump then, the rest of it was all about the Constitution and all the freedoms and all that type of stuff. It wasn't about Trump. And that was before Trump was voted in, when I really believed he didn't have a chance in hell.
Yeah.
Where I was like, well, this is just a funny thing.
I'll just do 5 minutes because this guy's not going to win.
I'll tell you what happened with that, because that clip went viral. Netflix actually said to me, they go, we're not sure. Like, if we need to make a cut, let's cut this Trump routine.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time the special comes out, a few months later, he'll just be forgotten about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wow. No one won't even be talking about him anymore. And the joke will date really badly, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were that sure that he was not going to win. I'm like, oh, we left it in. And then it was like, that was the bit.
Yeah.
But I thought there was a chance that he was going to be remembered like Mr. T. Just this bloke that we all remember, that guy with a weird haircut,
presidential candidate Mr. T.
Although it's
God,
it's
we could be so lucky.
I don't really talk Trump. Mm-hmm. I don't really talk Trump, especially to my son. I don't really talk about him much at home.
Why is that?
I just talk about it at work all day.
And
also, I also live by myself.
Well, that
you do get burnt out on it, though. I mean,
I get burnt out on it a bit, but I also live with my son now. Me and my son, we watched The Little Rascals the other day. Trump's at the beginning of that film.
He's the original, the Disney one,
the 1994.
Yes, it's an amazing movie.
Yeah, we're the car race at the end. Yes, Trump's one of their dads.
Yes.
Oh. He's at the beginning of Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2, yeah.
Right.
He's also in the beginning with Melania of Zoolander. Right?
Fuck. Didn't know that.
And then in about a week, every film that me and my son watched just had Trump in it. Just, it was just like we were homing pigeons for his cameos.
He's right? Just in Air Bud 9. He's like, the dog can't catch.
Yeah. And the first time we watched, I Zoolander was on. I thought, oh, my son will get a few laughs at this because it's so silly. Goofy. And so at the beginning, he's like, oh, Derek Zoolander, he's such a whatever. I can't do the impersonation.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Trump came up on the screen, my son goes, ah, well, this movie's ruined. Right?
That's
timing.
And I go, what about Donald Trump? He goes, he's the worst person in the world, right, Dad? And I'm like, I guess they're teaching him that in our little liberal schools that we go to.
I guess. I mean, well, he's probably surrounded by the kids of, I mean, you talked to...
He probably watches my bloody show. I don't fucking know. His mum probably puts it on a bit.
Yeah. Now, is it weird for you because you weren't necessarily a political comedian and then you got the gun bit and then the show and now do people expect you to talk about politics?
Yeah, I don't know what I am anymore. I don't know. I get the reviews. I think my stand-up shows are fine. I work really hard on them and stuff, but my reviews are like, now it's like, didn't talk about guns, didn't talk about politics. And it's like, all he did was talk about politics. And it's like, well, I try to do like a whole lot of sex and drug routines and a little bit of politics, a bit of something for everything.
Right. Yeah.
But Carlin used to do that. Carlin used to do like these big long bits on farting. And everyone just remembers him talking about your liberties and your this and it is bad for you.
Carlin has my favorite fart joke ever where he says, how do you know when a moth farts? It's the only time that it flies straight. That's my favorite fart joke ever. Amazing. And it's from the guy that has the seven dirty words and all the politics and everything like that. You can do it all.
Yeah, you don't have to be. But it's like amazing that the people get super grumpy if you're not living up to their exact expectation of what they think you should be.
They have an idea of what they came
just
to see.
Down the phone.
It's all right.
Peanut butter cookie.
Who how long did it take you to prep for this special, or when did you go? All right,
I'm a little puffy and red in this special. I normally work out and try to look a bit leaner on the specials, but it was at the end of a 1 month tour across Britain, so the chances of me looking good were
yeah.
I just gave up, and I was like, and that's the part of the this is me now. Oh, love me. I just look like a fucking slob in this special.
I mean,
are you just? Is it? I mean, you walk into any pub in Britain and you just, get the world.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, especially after gigs, people think that you're going to get fucking wasted every night, and you do one night. Yeah, I do one night out of three.
Yeah.
That's all I do. I get fucked up one night.
Yeah.
I'm not someone who, and you know, you had me on your podcast. I wasn't sober.
Right? I love that though. You were great though.
Yeah, we had some fans.
So I did ring the next day. Like, sorry, Brad. Sorry.
Yeah. That was an interesting text.
A couple
text.
Lines on Adam Devine that were that even. I mean, Adam is such. You know, he rolls with everything. But there were a couple of faces I saw of his where he looked at me being like, how long do I have to take this abuse? You said something about his dead uncle, and he was just like, okay.
That was a fun call.
Yeah, I didn't get invited to his 4th of July party.
Well, now we know why. Shit. No, but I mean,
so you picked one out of three because.
Yeah, and I have, and this is real addict, like. An addict sentence to say. I have zero interest in one or two alcoholic beverages. I have no interest in it.
Yeah,
I don't know what these people are. Like, oh, I'm going out for one drink. I love a beer after work. I love 10 beers or no beers.
Yeah,
so you're
I'm all right with no.
Yeah.
But if I'm going for it, I'm going for it. I went for it yesterday because after on Tuesdays we get fucked up and we do a podcast.
Nice.
Yeah. And after the show, as soon as we get off, we all just start fucking hammering it every every Tuesday. Tuesday's good.
Well, and also you get cookies on Tuesdays. So how can you not?
Cookies on Tuesdays.
Yeah, Tuesday rules.
Yeah. Tuesday's the best. Tuesday afternoon's good. Tuesday morning's horrible. Tuesday morning, you got to learn things.
Yeah. Well, because that's your taping day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you enjoy taping the show?
That's so I got the two televisions, so I come in and I watch a little bit of something on that screen, and then that's my teleprompt screen.
Oh, so you can kind of get familiar with it?
I can practice the teleprompt.
Oh, that's awesome. I was watching clips a few days ago, and you're really good at it. That's another skill set that I feel like.
Yeah, wasn't.
Well, you are now. When did that
click? Yeah, I've gotten better at it. I used to have to just always memorize. You know what's happened? Oh, I'm dyslexic and I'm malarkey, right? So I just gave up reading books. Years ago.
Yeah.
So the books the books in the office are for show?
These are ones that were given to me.
Okay.
This guy was a guest, he signed. This guy sent me a book. That's another guy who sent me a Trump thing. That's someone who just sent me Naked Cookbook.
Was that Brad Pitt?
Yeah. This is the Playboy I was in.
What?
I'm in Playboy. So this was actually the Playmate of the Year edition.
Okay.
Hang on, let me see.
There's some.
I forgot how much I enjoyed a Playboy.
Is this 20 questions with Jim Jefferies?
It's a whole article.
There it is.
That's amazing.
So it's all I say, Playmate of the Year. So there's the Playmate of the Year, right? Yep. Attractive woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to go to the Playmate of the Year awards, like where she was crowned or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And so I went along with it. It was a lunch just up the road in a hotel. And I was like, I'll go along with that. So I got fucked up, didn't I? Yeah. But I go along, and then I see her, and she's signing everyone's copies and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the old. Everyone's going up. Where's my magazine?
Yeah.
So I walked up to her with one of them, and I'd signed that page. I signed this for you.
I signed my article.
Yeah.
So the Playmate of the Year has an article like over my picture.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, she is. Oh, she was a fun girl.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, nothing wrong with her.
How are Playboys? Are they're still rocking and rolling? Are they still coming out every month?
There was about a year where they went. We're done with the nudes.
Yep.
Right.
What?
Yeah,
they took away because they're like, it's for free on the internet.
People are watching porn everywhere.
Right.
And then they go, we're done with the nudes. And then like they went, come on, bring back the nudes.
That was the that was the Coke 2 of Playboy.
Because his son runs the son runs the magazine now.
Right. Yep.
What's his name?
Cooper.
Cooper Hefner.
Yeah.
He fucking looks like his dad, man.
Yeah, a lot.
He's also like 27 and getting married to like a regular chick. Like,
what? Yeah, you're like, what are you doing, man?
You run Playboy.
Legacy. Yeah.
You run Playboy. Are you buddies with Pete Davidson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm mates with Pete.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
And there's like, it's like, yeah, he's 24, but then you're like, yeah, it's Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Do what you can, son.
Yeah.
Everyone's like this. Everyone's like, that ring is over $100,000. Why did he spend that much? And I'm like, if he divorces after a year, he's got to have a That's an investment.
That's an expensive one.
He'll rock out a quick $5 million in fucking, you know, one for the men.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was having that exact conversation with somebody where, like, if they split up, he's going to get a bunch of money. And then the person was like, well, no, because it's her money and she should keep it. And he didn't earn that money. I'm like, aha. That's how, yeah. So that's exactly the logic men have.
It's like we did a joke a couple of weeks ago on that whole thing about the World Cup where they go with Burger King. The Burger King had a promotion in Russia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. Right? Where if you get impregnated by one of the World Cup footballers, you get free hamburgers for life. This is a real thing.
What? That needs to happen.
Good,
I mean,
Burger King.
I mean,
dude, you got to compete, man. That McDonald's Burger King rivalry is strong.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, but they go, and I go, free burgers for life.
Yeah.
You get impregnated by me, you get a house.
Yeah.
I imagine, like, if you get impregnated by a Russian footballer, then that's what you got. Like, you know, you have. Or are there laws?
Any World Cup player.
Any World Cup player. Wow. All right. Gold digger, start your engines.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything I was on that? It's when you say on the show, oh, God, this is sad. Is there anything we can even joke about? Fuck it, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
Is there stuff that you ever see or come across that you feel like you just, like, we can't make a joke there or.
Yeah, well, I think that was the trickiest one, was the kids being separated from their from their family. Although I am doing a stand-up routine about that now, because you know, with
you're
kids,
one of the few people that I feel like just.
Well, the kids are being separated from family, so 23andMe came in to give them all, like, DNA tests. So they can match the families back up.
Right.
Wow. That's got to be, like, the worst Maury Povich episode ever. Because there's got to be at least one incident where it's, you're not the father. Oh, and it's like, I carried who on my back through what business?
Oh, God. Now, like, do you sit down and go, I'm going to write something about this topic because it is controversial? Or
for the TV show?
For either
act, yeah.
Stand up's a different thing. Stand up, I don't know how you guys do, but I'm a big, you know, just I wait for it to come to you.
Yeah,
you just sit around and then go, oh yeah, that might be a bit, and then you have that bit where your special's coming out. So I'm in panic mode right now.
Yeah,
because I'm not sure if I have enough.
Yeah,
the worst time to see me do stand up comedy is July 14th.
One day after his special, This Is Me Now, debuts on Netflix.
And it'll be slightly better on the 15th, but not much.
Do you make it, will you perform on the...
Yeah, I got gigs. I got fucking...
Yeah, you strike while the
iron's
hot, right?
5,000 seat arena on the fucking 17th or something.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, oh,
how much
God.
Of that... So do you really throw out the whole... Like, you're not going to do anything?
Yeah, I do. But I always have like... I think I have like 40 minutes in you, and then I at the moment... And then I have like... Then I start... There's like a whole lot of routines that I never recorded that I sort of salvage and bring back to sort of pad it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then...
I was going to ask somebody of your level, like, how much material do you have shelved that you're just... That for whatever reason you left off the mic?
Yeah. I got probably an hour of that stuff, but like a lot of it was edited out because it wasn't that great.
Well, but then when you're done, you're just trying to create a new hour. These people pay to see you, so you got to do something. Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll tell you a funny story that happened to me. We actually in the last episode we had this thing called the Pint Men.
Are you good for about another 15-20?
Yeah. I got some sushi arriving. I'm just seeing how long.
The life of Jim Jeffries.
Sushis?
Cookie Tuesdays, Sushi Wednesdays. Yeah. This is great.
Sushi and cookies can be the name of your next special.
So if I can, and a retro Dr. Pepper. So I was in Ireland, and we did this thing called the Pipeman, because in Ireland what's happening is they're changing the marketing laws, so you can advertise alcohol, but you can't have a person in the advert, and you can't have like a beach, you can't make it look nice.
Like smoking over there now?
Yeah, you can just have the alcohol, and it can just be, the advert can be beer, £4.20.
Well, that's all you really need, but no, right. I get it.
There can't be a hot chick, and there can't be a beach, it can't look like it's, you know what I mean?
I mean, we have some absurd advertising rules here for alcohol where no one can drink the alcohol in the ad. So, like, you can have Neil Patrick Harris holding a Heineken, and he could be about to sip it, but you can't actually see him drink, which is weird.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But so what happened was, then I just drank with some alcoholics in Ireland, right? And these guys do about 15 pints a day.
Jeez.
And anyway, so in an hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
we had in the interview, in the hour and a half, we all went through 6 Guinnesses and 6 shots of Jamesons. Right, to speed things up.
Wow.
And at the end, I was leathered. That's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Dribbling.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, are you really drunk? You can't handle your liquor. And I'm like, it's fucking... And I was trying to act tough. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Fucking good. And they're like, so they leave, but I'm at that stage of drunk where I was just like, let's keep rocking this out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm behind... Because we had the bar, as I said. This bar was so old, it was 50 years older than America, just to put it in context.
Whoa. So Adam, that would make it opened in...
50 years older than what?
America.
17.
It's 50. 67?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
26.
Yeah. 50 years would be 30... 26.
26.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Yeah.
26.
Wait, what was the question?
1726. That's when the bar opened.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I just made everyone do math. Anyway, I apologize.
Don't make me do that. Well, so, how dare you?
So anyway, so I'm behind the bar and this phone number rings. My phone rings.
Mm.
And I pick up the phone and I'm drunk. Like I'm pouring a Guinness. pouring my own beer behind the bar.
Yeah.
And I have, hey, it's Jay Leno. I've never met Jay Leno in my entire life, and I'm leglessly drunk.
Yeah, and Jay doesn't drink.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, man, how are you doing? He goes, hey, I'm going to be doing a stand-up spot on the Tonight Show. Like that, right? I went, oh, congratulations on getting the Tonight Show.
Who books that?
Right, he goes, I have a routine. And someone's told me it's similar to one of your routines. I want to run it by you. It's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Turns out, for mine, it was pretty much the same joke. Mm-hmm. So the joke was, I used to do about how, like, male strippers are always, like, firemen or a police officer or whatever, right? Okay, because even when a man's naked, a woman wants to know that he has a job. Right?
That was, there you go. Gag, right? Great joke.
So I go, look, here's the deal. I recorded that joke maybe 5 years ago. I said, if you want to do it, I don't give a fuck. But if anyone asks, I'll say that you rang up and you asked if you could do it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, great, thanks, Jim. Thanks, it's really sweet of you. Bye, bye. So anyway, so we keep drinking, and these two young comics come up, and they were like, hey, we're new comics, blah 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 blah. Give me a photo, and I'm like, sure. And I go, what are you guys doing here? And I was leather. They go, oh, we run a comedy gig in the basement. And they didn't ask me. But I was so drunk. I was like, I'll open for you. Don't worry. Like, I'm so drunk. I go downstairs with this little cave. There's maybe 15 people in the room. And so, and then the next day, I'm doing a 4,000-seat room in Dublin, right?
Fuck.
And so I'm in, but the day before, I'm in this 15-seat venue in this... like an old pub. And so they go, oh, we have very special guests, and they're all college type agent.
Yeah.
Very special guests. Please welcome Jim Jeffries. Not one of those 15 people knew who the fuck it was. Not one. And so I was like, well, what I'll do is I'll just do a routine that just one story and then I'll fuck off, right? So I decided to tell I performed for a party for Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
And Al Pacino was there, and Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was like, I'll just tell that story. Now, what I had forgotten is, because I don't do a lot of little clubs and all that stuff, a lot of my material now is based around the fact of you knowing who I am and previous routines that I've done. Yeah.
So it's
me name dropping. I'm just like, anyway, so Eddie Murphy was there, and then Al Pacino was over there, and then they requested the gun control routine. And these people are like, what gun control routine? It was literally me telling people, I'm famous. You don't know who I am, but I'm famous.
Yeah.
So I'm doing all the different impersonations and stuff. It's dying, and the story, there's no easy way to get out of the story. I'm locked in.
Yeah. The whole thing.
I'm like, oh, I got another 15 minutes of this fucking story. I got to get through, right?
All while completely hammered.
Yeah, all while completely smashed out of my face.
Yeah.
The gig's going terribly.
Jay Leno's in the back like, you changed on the stripper job.
No, no, no. My phone rings.
Yeah.
Jay Leno.
No!
I'm on stage, so I thought, this will salvage things. So I turn it on speakerphone, hold on, and then he goes, hey, Jim, it's Jay Leno. Like this, right? And I went, hey, Jay, how are you?
Yeah.
He goes, out of sight, I'm not going to do that joke. There's no point me doing that joke. I got other material. I can do a different joke. Anyway, thanks for being so cool about it. And I'm like, all right. And I hang it up. I go, that was Jay Leno. And this girl in the audience, like, thought, because I dropped so many names earlier, she went, sure it was. They all thought that the gig,
planned that
I had a couple of mates in the back, and I go, if the gig goes badly, ring up and do the Jay Leno impression.
Do the thing that always saves my show. Oh, my God. Well, yeah, and that's just 15 people going, this guy's really committing to the whole I'm famous bit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jay Leno's calling me.
Remember him?
Oh, what's that, Beyonce? I can't come to your party?
I was at Jay Leno's car show twice, and then one time I was like on holiday, and I decided to extend my holiday by a week, and so I said, I cancel. And then another time I canceled because I was ill. But I had like a surgery or something that I knew I wasn't going to be able to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been invited back since. I think I canceled on Jay too many times. I don't get to race cars. I still haven't gotten coffee with that other guy either.
Yeah.
Seems like a must.
Yeah, there's a new season of that. You should do it.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know how you get on. Like, I hear that.
Do you know him?
No, I've never met him, no.
Yeah.
I've never met him.
There's a lot of those guys he hasn't met.
I've heard mixed things.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, mixed things.
But it seems like a fun gig. And that, and you're always curious, kind of the same way how your writers write jokes for you. You go, what car would he pick? Like, what car would he pick for you that's like, and this car is old, rugged, run down, there's a lot of cocaine in it, which brings me to my guess.
Yeah. It's a dirty car. It hasn't been washed in years.
It's got cookies in it.
Yeah, I wonder whether you'd find some Australian vehicle.
Yeah, sure.
Probably. What's the best Australian car? I'd like to think that he'd get me like the Monaro from Mad Max.
Wow.
There we go.
That would be a good one.
Yeah. Does Australia have a car company?
We just lost our last one, but we did for many, 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 many years. Ford was Australian. We had our own branch of Ford, which made Fords just for Australia. And Holden was the company. And Holden made all the V8s. We did muscle cars the same as you guys did muscle cars.
Okay. So
that's why Mad Max always had the big, the last of the fucking V8s, right? They're all Australian cars in the original Mad Max.
There you go.
Well, when are you going to go back there soon?
I was just there in January.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to do a small tour of Australia. I think tickets go on sale any day now, actually. I'm going to do 5 gigs. And the only reason I'm doing the tour of Australia is because my brother's getting married. Awesome. So I'm just slapping on 5 cities.
And then you pay for the trip. And make some money and pay for your brother's gift.
Yeah, so I have to go to.
Do you have spots you'll hit when you go back that you just always are a must? Like
food.
Yeah.
Food. Oh yeah.
Where?
Yeah. There's a few Thai places in Sydney. There's a fast food place I like called Orgalo Burger, which has a nice chicken. It's a Portuguese chicken thing. Orgalo. Orgalo's me jam.
Nice.
I love Orgalo. The food in Australia is dynamite. Really good the food in Australia. You've been?
Yeah, yeah. I just went.
He just went. I'm going for the first time in December.
Right. For cities.
Oh, that's right. I'm competing with you in each city.
You son of a bitch. You got me the gig, too.
I meant to tell you about that.
Why don't I just open up for you? It'll make it easier.
You're competing with.
Yeah, there's no competition.
Yeah, there's no competition.
Yeah, that's like the Washington Generals and the fucking
Los Angeles Harlem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did. Brad's in all the same towns that you are.
Your opening act, Forrest, told me about it, and I'm like, great. Why don't I just? hop on with you.
I didn't know. Yeah. I don't think it's. I think we double up on two cities, maybe.
Okay, so those will be the cities where plenty of tickets will be available yeah. for my Australian shows.
No, you're so good. So.
You'll be fine.
No, we'll be all right.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll plug in the cities that you're going in next.
Big time.
There we go.
So I'll do it on the show and then sell those ones out for you.
Evens thank you very up. Much. Evens. And thank you for getting me those gigs.
Oh, that's okay.
We were in Perth on Australia Day. Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Perth's a good city.
Yeah. It was there was a big fireworks show on the
Swan River.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's the and this one. Concludes the Adam relates to Jim about Australia portion of the show.
That's really no, it's funny. Everyone thinks I'm born in Perth because
oh really?
Yeah, because I started in comedy in Perth, and so my Wikipedia says that I'm from Perth, but I'm not. I'm from Sydney. Mm-hmm. But when they decorated my office, there was going to be a surprise for season two when I came back in. And they didn't do much research. The decorator just looked at Wikipedia. So there's a lot of maps of Perth on the wall.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, now, they also decorated with quite a few Superman comics. Are you into Superman?
I like Superman.
Well, that's something you can talk about with Seinfeld when you finally do your Comedians in Cars.
I do like Superman. I like him. I feel like other superheroes are redundant.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got... Look, the Justice League... Fuck off. Once you got Superman, the rest of them are useless.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Aquaman's only rocking around the water. Batman can't physically do anything. It's like if Batman wants to get... Like Batman versus Superman is just like, shut
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Superman yeah. would crush him. Now, I know it didn't turn out that way.
Right.
How did it turn out? I didn't see it.
Batman wore a fucking kryptonite suit.
Oh, yeah. Because like he's smart. Yeah, I think that should be the name of your next special.
I think they should have put you in the movie. Just yeah. in the, somebody was like, "What happened with that fight? Hey, wore a kryptonite suit like a cunt." Roll credits.
That's on the cutscene.
Wait, where you said you started in Sydney? Where at?
No, I started in Perth. Perth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Perth. It was a comedy club. There was no comedy club in Perth at the time. There was a Wednesday night above a pub called the Brass Monkey.
Nice.
And that was wow. that was where you went to.
And you signed up, or just, what was it, open mic or?
It was open mic, yeah. Open mic. And then I did what a lot of open micers do. I promoted. Okay, what happened was.
Talked about how you knew Jay Leno.
There was a serial killer in this very fancy suburb that used to have all these nightclubs and stuff called in Claremont, called the Claremont Killer. They just found him, actually, all these years.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
they just found him. But he killed a whole heap of girls, and they thought for a while it was taxi drivers. And so they thought it was this one bloke, and they kept following him around in a police car forever, going, "This is the bloke." They put him on the news. That guy yeah. killed himself, and now we've since found out it wasn't him.
Oops.
So fucking. Anyway, so the Claremont Killer. So this used to be like a hub of like nightlife for all the students.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the last thing that all the girls who were killed, they went off to get a taxi, and that's when they got killed.
Okay.
And so that all of a sudden that area, while this is at the height of the killings while I was at college, that area was dead. So there's just like all these really like really nice rooms you could do for comedy, and I was like, "Can I come do a comedy show here?" Now because girls didn't want to come, yeah. this probably shaped my whole career. because girls wouldn't come into town.
Yeah,
it was just like I'd do these gigs just to like fucking 50 blokes. They weren't getting killed.
Well, hey, that now people know so, where you so get
I
your
did
voice.
I did that misogynistic comedy just because the Claremont Killer was pushing all the...
I need people to go see your Netflix special, This Is Me Now, as especially so they can learn what docking is.
Docking, it's worth... That's just that alone. The funny thing is the docking routine...
Yeah.
It's where you wrap a foreskin around the head of a non-foreskin penis, and they link together, and there's a bit of suction. Right? And
hey, Jim, I also have a bit about docking.
So they Google it, kids. Mm-hmm. As soon as you see it, you'll understand. Anyway, it always makes you think, what will the gays think of this? Anyway... So I normally do that routine here in America, and then I do a whole lot of thing about how uncircumcised dicks are gross, right? And then the audience will be cheering on my side because Americans for the most part are uncircumcised, and then I find like a guy in the audience who isn't circumcised and we make the audience really pick on him, and I ask you know, I say how do you live with yourself, you disgusting thing, when you it's over the top, right? But then I recorded this special in London where no one's circumcised.
So they all have disgusting
dicks. So I thought
to
myself, I'll just give the routine a go anyway. And so instead of like everyone cheering, it was everyone booing me. And I was like, your dicks are all disgusting.
You got weird dicks.
So it hasn't even, the special hasn't even come out. And I'm expecting a lot of hate mail for that because circumcision is mutilation, blah, 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 blah. I'm getting intactivists, they're called.
What's that?
The people who don't want, who want to ban circumcision.
Oh, and they're intactivists? Called
intactivists. They want to keep it intact.
There's a word for every... it's stupid.
And so the intactivists are showing up at my gigs.
The dickheaders?
Yeah. And they're like, circumcision ruins sexual pleasure. Circumcision is this. Circumcision's mutilation, like this, right? Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is, my fans, like, they're all like taking photos in front of them. Like,
I just love the fact that the people that come to protest you are pro-gun and anti-circumcision. That's your Jim Jefferies hate groups right there.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I even find with the show, it's like the amount of people who send me hate mail after the show, and it's like, how are you angry at that? It's like me saying on the show, I think the kids should be reunited with the parents.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you liberal fucking cunt, these people. And it's like, I didn't say that they should be let into the country and all that kind of stuff. I believe illegal is in the title, illegal immigrant. But I do not believe they should be separated from the parents, their children.
Sure. That's an extra thing.
Right. And then like the people who are so angry at me, like you don't fucking welcome this fucking country either. And you're like, what the fuck? Wow.
Conclusion jumpers.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like people... I think everyone fundamentally thinks they're a good person, right? Like you must, agreed, because you live with yourself all day.
Yeah. Sure. So you got to have some nice feelings about yourself.
I got some good qualities.
Yeah. I give waitresses really a large tips every now and then to get laid.
I remember my younger years, there was a girl who used to just brag to a friend. I dated and used to brag, like when I'm talking about early 20s. Used to brag to her friends, like, he is just the sweetest, most honest, most earnest, like, more integrity than any man I've ever met in my entire life. And I was cheating on her constantly. And I used to just fucking hear her say these things, and I'd die. I'd be like, oh, God, I'm a bad person.
The Netflix special This Is Me Now, by the time this airs, it'll be available. So go watch it. And then
it's out July 13th.
Yep.
Is it everywhere's July 13th? Because July 13th is July 14th in Australia.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
And then do we get it at midnight New York?
Oh, I see.
Or do we get it midnight LA?
Yeah.
What happens?
Does it sweep according to a geographic location?
Does it come on earlier for circumcised people?
Yeah. or they just give it a nice, like, we're putting it on 11 a.m. Like, is there, like, I don't...
It's a great question.
Yeah.
So, because people have been asking me, is it midnight Thursday?
I think it is.
Or is it midnight Friday?
Well, hey, guys.
I think it's midnight Thursday. So Friday. So it's coming out...
Either way... Go to bed. When you wake up, it's there. You'll have a special. You'll be able to watch it.
I don't know.
So watch This Is Me Now. Watch the Jim Jefferies show.
It's on Netflix. Netflix is a streaming company.
Yeah. Streaming company.
So if you want to see it, Netflix tell me that I wouldn't like my specials. But I look through, my specials are not recommended. Because
you're watching too much RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, exactly. Because of all the other shows I'm watching, all I watch is RuPaul's Drag Race and Pixar films. I've got a 5-year-old.
Yeah, and they go, you would not like this guy.
I'll see you, Jim Jerry. Not for you.
Well, so unless your name is Jim Jefferies, go watch the Jim Jefferies specials and you will enjoy it. Otherwise,
the Jim Jefferies Show. And your podcast after the show, right?
Every week. The podcast is called the Jim Jefferies Show Podcast, the Jim Jefferies Show.
Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying doing the show?
I am. Yeah. It's a different grind, and I kind of like, it's sort of different. Like, I think I enjoyed slightly more doing a sitcom. Yeah. And I think because sitcoms are all about fun and there's a lot of camaraderie involved.
Improvisation.
And also, and like, acting is like one of those things where it's like, wow. Like wait, I like being an actor because I feel like a fraud the whole time. Where you're walking around going, oh, God. There's all these cameras and shit go, oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where this, I sort of, it's closer to stand-up, so I don't feel as out of my comfort zone here as I did with that.
Real quick, how did you get Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt...
as your weatherman.
Asked to have dinner with me one time. His favorite sitcom's Legit.
Shut up!
Yeah, his favorite sitcom's Legit.
It was fucking incredible.
That means Brad Pitt has watched someone do cocaine off my back.
100%.
Oh, Brad, you need to hit
Brad
him up.
Pitt, yeah. Brad Pitt came down, and just by coincidence... in the audience was Dan Bacchidon and DJ Qualls, who played the other two characters in Legit. They just came along to watch an episode.
Yeah.
And then before, in rehearsal, they were there. And I said, hey, Brad, it's the other two guys of Legit. And Brad Pitt lost his shit. He was like, fuck, man, great. Like, walked up to him like he was excited to meet them.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And so he just hit you up and went, like, let's get dinner. And
it was like, there was... Netflix, what happened was he was doing a movie called War Machine for Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it was like I'd been told that he was a fan of mine and then wanted to meet up. And then they said, hey, you can have, who do you want to have interview for the extra features for War Machine? And he goes, oh, I'll have Jim Jefferies. And I never interviewed anyone. I don't think it ever got into the air. It may be the worst interview in history. I was like nervous.
It's just
like,
you walking in going, so you're Brad Pitt?
I was just asking questions that I thought...
Are you circumcised?
I was just asking questions that I thought might be interesting. So I was like, because I was fascinated by the guy. I was like, how much is a gallon of milk?
When was the last time you were in a grocery store?
Yeah, really was shit like that.
Yeah.
I read your Wikipedia. You played basketball as a kid. Oklahoma.
Yeah, what do you ask Brad Pitt? He's been in every single interview.
I've gotten better at the interviewing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jack!
You even talked to Jack.
Can you run out and get me food?
Yeah.
I'm standing out there. They're getting angry at me.
No, this is a theme across all podcasts.
Thanks.
I think there is a show waiting to be made called Brad and Brad, where Brad Pitt and Brad Williams travel the world for a year.
I mean...
Or at least a week.
He is maybe one of the nicest guys. What happened was he was meant to be our weatherman once,
mm-hmm.
and then he went, like, just so he filmed the one thing on the pilot as, like, a favor to help me out, to see if, you know.
Right.
And then I'm like, and then it's like, I guess he enjoyed it. And so then he'd start text messaging me really late at night. He was filming in, like, Mumbai or something, and he just text messaged me, like, and he'd pour water over his head. And it was just on an iPhone. It was like, hey, Jim, I'm here in Mumbai. The water levels are rising.
Oh, my God. Right? Like, Brad Pitt sending you funny videos?
He was writing his own bits. Right? And there's another one where he's in Venice and he's in a gondolier. He goes, as you can see, the roads are completely gone. And like, so that's the only clip we could get because he was sitting outside in the gondola. So he could only get like 10-second bursts. Yeah. Because at the end, and it was edited out, because at the end of each clip, there's just boatloads of people just losing their shit.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he was dressed in a weatherman outfit with a big old 70s tie.
Some people were just going, wow, Brad's making some interesting fashion choices nowadays.
I think it was this room we filmed. There's a bit where I go, we fired him, and we made this into look like a 70s '70s house. And he's sitting there going, right, we had to fire the weatherman. He's sitting there just drinking a whiskey, and he goes, lies! Like,
I love that. So cool. Well, I love saying this. Your sushi has arrived.
Yeah,
so,
that's our cue.
We are going to wrap this up. But once again,
was that the Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Big sushi.
it's really old ones.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that, by the way.
Watch the special. Watch the show on Comedy Central. Yeah. Subscribe to the podcast. And go see me on tour instead of him in Australia.
You're not Australia.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.